Would you look at this passage? If you'll keep your Bible open there at Ephesians chapter 4, I want to point out a few things to you this morning. I want to preach on growing spiritually. Growing spiritually. And I believe that's why all of us come to church. I don't want to just come, put in my time, go home. I want something I can take home. I want the Lord to work on me. I'm not a finished product. Nobody here is. We all have growing to do. And I want this to be an encouragement to you this morning. And look at verse number 11. Look at verse number 11. And he gave some apostles. There are no more of those. There are no more apostles. To be an apostle, you had to see the sufferings of the Lord and him risen from the dead. Then it says here, and some prophets. I believe those are few and far between. And some evangelists. And some pastors and teachers. If you look at the first part of the verse, it says, he gave some. Now, and then pastors. Now, think with me just for a second. God tells me in the Bible that God gave me to you, for I am God's gift to you. Now, there are many better people. Okay, I'm not trying to promote myself this morning. I am promoting the position. And there is no such thing as someone. Well, look at the next verse. Look at verse 12. Why does God give pastors and teachers? Why? Verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints. Perfecting. Stop right there. God says every Christian is given a pastor to do what? Perfect or mature or furnish you spiritually. Just like when you move into a house, you want your living room to look a certain way. So you buy furniture to furnish it. You put a couch, you put a table, you put shelving, you put this. God says to furnish you spiritually, he gives you a bit. Now, I've been a pastor now for, we're going on 8 months, praise the Lord, and this is wonderful, and I feel very thankful that I get the privilege of pastoring Gospel Light Baptist Church. But I have read this and thanked God for my pastor ever since I've been saved in 29 years. Every pastor I worked for as an assistant, I looked at him and I said, he is God's gift to me for my growth. I don't know if you've ever heard that before. Okay, so watch this. How come God gives us pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints? Look at the next phrase, for the work of the ministry. There's something in here everybody is supposed to do for the Lord. And it's not the same thing. But as your pastor, I am to pray for you and to help you find God's place for the work in the ministry. Nobody here, and watch this, if you only come to church and that's all you do, you're welcome to come here. But I, as your pastor, look at you and I say, I want you to grow to where one day you can do what God put you in this church to do. And there is something every person is supposed to be doing. Third reason, watch this, ready? Watch this. The verse 12 says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That word edifying, it's where we get the word edifice. It's like what an architect does when he designs a building. Well, it'll be structurally strong, this, and at the top we're going to put this, and then we can either interlock it this way or this way. Just like an architect structures a building, your spiritual growth is also structured by your pastor. You say, and that's why I've heard people make statements like, well, all I need is the Bible. You don't grow without a pastor. God did not design Christianity that way. Well, all I do is read my Bible in the morning, and that's all I need. You won't grow spiritually. I'm glad you're reading your Bible at home, and I think you should read your Bible at home. You should be praying at home. But you have to have a pastor. And I have watched people take that, I think it's liberal thinking, and once again, they're trying to make a spiritual statement. They're trying to say, well, all I need is the Bible. Well, I'm glad you have a Bible. I hope you have the right one. I hope you have a King James Bible. If you don't, you've been toyed with and played with. All right? But you need a pastor also. God teaches that in the Bible. Watch this. Listen closely this morning. 3 John, verse 2. There's only one chapter in 3 John. He is writing to a man named Gaius. And listen closely. 3 John verse 2 says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Isn't that amazing? God compares in the Bible your physical health to your spiritual health. Have you ever noticed physical food and spiritual food are exactly opposite? Have you ever noticed spiritual food, the more you read your Bible, the more you pray, and the more you go to church and hear preaching, and the more you serve, have you ever noticed the more you eat spiritually, the more you want it? Have you ever noticed it? And the less you read your Bible, and the less you pray, and the less you eat spiritually, the less you want it. It's exactly opposite of physical food. Go to lunch this afternoon. The more you eat, the less you want. Right? And the more you stay away from food, the hungrier you get. The opposite is true with spiritual food. That's why when you don't want to read your Bible and you don't want to pray and you don't want to go to church and you don't want... That's a danger sign. That means you've been away from it too long. You're starving yourself spiritually. Do you understand? Here he says, I want your physical health to be just like your spiritual health. Now, would you think with me just for a second, what would happen, and we're all glad that this won't happen, but what would happen if God let your physical size be the same size as you are spiritually? Have a lot of midgets, wouldn't we? We'd have a full nursery this morning, wouldn't we? Good morning. How are you? Hi. But that's what he says in the verse. He said, I want you to prosper spiritually. He said, like you physically prosper. He said, I hope you're physically strong and spiritually strong. Because I know some Christians that aren't. And I want, as a pastor, I want you to be spiritually strong. You're at Ephesians chapter 4. Ready? Look at verse number 15. Watch this. This whole little section here is about growing up. Watch this. That we henceforth, I'm at Ephesians 4:15, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. There's never been more deception available to a Christian. I remember TV preachers when I was growing up, and we never listened to them in our family because they were garbage. But now you've got all types of stuff on the internet, and you've got all types of things available, satellite radio and all this. More people are downloading music than ever before in history. It's accessible. It's a click away. Be careful. Be careful who you're listening to. There is a lot of deception out there. Everything that calls itself Christian isn't right. Be careful. Be careful. You'll notice a child, spiritually, God says, has not settled yet what they believe. That's why they're tossed to and fro. And they'll go, maybe this is right. Oh, maybe this is right. Maybe, oh. And that's the sign of a child spiritually. They're tossed to and fro. When they hear somebody say, you got to get baptized to go to heaven, they'll go, oh, is that right? No, that's not right. You get baptized after you get saved, but you don't get baptized to go to heaven. Amen? All right. And then they'll hear other things. If you're going to grow up, verse 11, God gives us pastors and teachers to mature us. Verse 15, that we henceforth be no more children. And then look at verse number 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up. Stop being children. Watch this. You know what I'm supposed to do as your pastor? I'm supposed to speak the truth in love. I always think this, and I don't want to be a mean preacher. I want to be a strong preacher. Amen. I want to be a Bible preacher. But I'm not nasty when I get up here. It's a privilege for me to get to teach God's people. It's a privilege to get to teach and preach the Word of God. But God says here, if I'll speak the truth in love, then His people grow. They grow up and they stop being children. Truth like what? truth like, I find that churches that play rock music to get a crowd, that's wrong. That's truth, what I just said. That's truth. There's a lot of Bible behind what I just said. Pastors that don't use the King James Bible are wrong. That's truth, what I just said. If I love you, I'll warn you. Don't do that. Churches that substitute drama for preaching are wrong. I don't have a problem with acting out a story, but that's no substitute for preaching. Some guy running around up here in tights? Are you kidding me? That'd make me throw up. I don't want to see anybody in tights. You're not supposed to substitute drama for preaching. God says preaching is what reveals or manifests or lays open the Word of God.
Amen.
Preaching, there is no substitute, and God uses it to salvage us. To salvage us. I'm to speak the truth in love. Did you know that all growth is not a sign of life? You ever see a dead animal on the side of the road? You hit it, then you pass it the next day, and it's bigger. You know, I saw this one groundhog. You know, they're so baggy. You know, first day it's there, and for some reason, then the next day it was all bloated up, and its legs were stuck on the thing. You didn't dare want to go by. You know, as kids, you know, we'd play with roadkill and, oh, pew, and run. That thing was swollen because of death. The Bible teaches us that in 1 Corinthians 8, it teaches knowledge puffs up like a dead animal, but charity edifieth. Charity edifieth or builds you. Not all growth is good. Be very careful. Not all growth is good. Churches that will do anything to get a crowd, anything to keep people, I believe that those are compromising churches. God says don't do that. Mental growth does not mean spiritual growth. I like this statement. I've heard it since I've been here, and I don't think it's bad. Pastor, I've learned more since I've been coming to church than in the church I used to go to. I've learned more, and I'm glad you have. But mental growth does not always equal spiritual growth. I know people that know a lot, but they don't live any of it. Do you understand? And their mind and their education is wonderful, and they're great to talk with, but they're spiritually retarded. And I'm saying that in a good way this morning. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to say, you really worship your mind, don't you? If you can't understand it, you don't live it. There's no faith. So you are spiritually this big, but your mind, whoo, glory to God. And I put a lot into the sermons here, and I'll always work at that. And I have no problem, and I want you to learn. And I believe teaching is an important part of preaching. However, mental growth is not always spiritual growth. As a child of God, you should want to grow. You need to grow. You need to grow all the way to heaven. Take your Bible and go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. You need to grow all the way to heaven. I've heard this. This is a dangerous statement, and it does not make for strong Christians. I'm strong enough now, I don't need church. I've heard Christians say that. Oh, I've been in church 20 some odd years. I don't need a pastor anymore. They didn't find that in the Bible anywhere. That is nowhere in the Scriptures. If anything, I am supposed to be growing until one day I get to lay this old sinful flesh aside and I get to step into glory with my perfect body. Amen. And I'll be excited about that. But until then, I've got growing to do. Every Christian does. No Christian is done growing. You may not struggle with outward things, but no one's a finished product with inward things. Every Christian struggles with pride. Every Christian struggles with selfishness. Every Christian. There's no such thing as someone who doesn't. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. God tells us that we're supposed to grow until we get to heaven. I grow when I want the Word of God, and I'll come back to that in just a minute. We're supposed to want to grow. 2 Peter. Are you in 1 Peter there? Look at 2 Peter chapter 3. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3. Look at verse number 17. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 17. Ye therefore, 2 Peter 3:17, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This tells me right here, God says, better be careful with what you've been taught. Don't let it slip. He said, hold fast to it and grow in grace. That tells me this. You're supposed to either be growing. There's no such thing as stagnating in the Christian life. And if you aren't careful, then when you come up against a wall spiritually, you stagnate. And then you backslide. You're either going forward for the Lord or you're going backwards. But there's no such thing as someone who's just standing still. There's no such thing. Grow in grace. That's 2 Peter. The Lord loves it when we grow spiritually. 3 John verse 4, just listen to me. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. God loves to watch us as His children grow spiritually. Look, they're reading their Bible. Look, they're praying. They're spending time with me. Wow, look, they're going to church, whereas before they were hit and miss and I don't know. Look, their faithfulness is in. God says, I love it when my children grow. Just like we like to watch our kids, right? I remember when my kids took their first step and the terror that ran through my body. Oh no, they're going to be on the go. That was funny. I wish you'd have heard that. We enjoy watching little Titus. Oh, he's starting to crawl. He's starting to crawl. And we get excited about that. Did you know God loves to see you grow? God says, look, they're getting victory over that sin. They let me help them. Look, they're applying my word to their life. God says they're growing spiritually. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. God loves to see us grow. A person who visited our church told me one time, they said they grew more in one church service than in 10 years of where they used to go to church. Another person told me at a different time, I've learned more Bible in one church service than in my whole life in the church where I used to attend. We should be growing spiritually. Then I've heard people make this statement, I left the church where I was at because I wasn't growing spiritually. Listen closely. I don't know whose fault it was, but sometimes it's not always the church's fault why you're not growing spiritually. Did you know you can't feed someone who won't open their mouth? I know that's basic. So they don't come to church, they don't come to Sunday school, and then they say, well, I just don't go to that church because I'm not being fed. The cook prepares the meal, pulls it out of the oven, dinner served, and nobody's there. Amen. Yeah, no wonder you weren't getting fed. You weren't there. You weren't there. You can't grow if you don't come to Sunday school. You can't grow if you don't come to dinner. Spiritual growth is my goal for our church. Someone said, Pastor, how big do you think our church is going to get? I don't have a number goal. When somebody found, actually two people have asked me that question, and every time I say that, they go, you know what my goal for our church is? I'm watching people grow spiritually and I'm enjoying that. I have spiritual growth goals for people, but I've never on my knees prayed, oh Lord, you know, Easter Sunday we had 103. I never prayed, oh Lord, please let us break 100. I've never prayed that way. I'm not wired that way. I do feel like if you came to this church, God brought you here. Amen. And there's some things you're supposed to be getting spiritually. And it is my job to feed you as I pray and yield to the Holy Spirit. Dear God, please give me what they need. And I look at each person that comes here as a responsibility. And I have goals for you spiritually, but I don't have, when are we going to reach 200? I don't know. When God feels we're ready. You be faithful with what God gives you and God gives you more. But people aren't numbers. They're individuals and they grow individual. We don't grow as a group. We grow individually. You understand? I have spiritual goals for each member of our church. As a Christian, I said, number one, you should want to grow. I said, number two now, as a Christian, you should be willing to grow. 1 Peter chapter 2 says, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies, we looked at the second verse, and envyings and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. You can't stay stunted and little forever. You should desire to grow spiritually. You should desire spiritual growth more than you desire money. Watch this. If you don't want to grow, you don't. You don't grow. And I love what I said in Sunday school this morning. I mean it with all of my heart. The most beautiful part of the Christian life is you're as close to God as you want to be. How come the Apostle Paul loves Jesus more than you do? Why? How come anybody loves God more than you do? Do you know why? Because that's the way you want it. Amen? And if the day you want to change it, you can change it. You can get closer to Him anytime you want. You can love Him more anytime you want. That's in your ballpark. Amen? That's up to you. But if you don't want to grow spiritually, I can give more Bible studies and do it won't help until you want to grow. I know that old statement, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't what? Make him drink? I can prepare, I can preach, I can do that, but I can't make anybody grow. I can pray that you grow, but you got to want to grow. You should desire spiritual growth more than you desire a house or things like a large screen TV. How big does God's growth chart in heaven say you are? Remember that when Mom would do that? Remember the pencil mark on the side of the thing? Did y'all? Some of you young kids, you don't. They got laser readers now, probably. You know. But remember, I remember. Hi, Mom, how much have I grown? And you know, you'd step up to the door jamb, and Mom would right there. Mom would put pencil marks on the door. She didn't care. Amen. That's the house we were growing up in. How big does God's chart up in heaven say you are spiritually? How big? How big? I fear Christians who've been around forever and they've never grown spiritually. You've been in church how long? Oh, 40 years. 40 years. Well, you ought to be... Woo! 40 years! I'm glad you have been. I'm glad you stayed by it. It just scares me when you've been saved for a long time and you become embarrassed to grow. And it becomes easier to say, oh, I already knew that. Because they've been there so long, they don't want anybody else to think that now that they're not still growing. And it's a lot easier, and that scares me. Be teachable. Be a learner. Ask yourself this question this morning. Listen closely. Do I want to grow in my love for the Bible? Do I want to grow in my separation from the world? Do I want to grow in my obedience to the Word of God? Do I want to grow in my ability to get along with other people? Do I want to grow in following leadership? Do I want to grow in my holy living? Do I want to grow in my prayer life? Do I want to grow in my faith and my ability to trust the Lord? Do I want to grow in my love for my enemies? That's Christianity. And I love this statement, you've never loved someone until you love someone who hates you. Because they can't do anything for you. That's Christianity. Do I want to grow? Do I want to learn how to not hold a grudge? That's Christian growth, learning to obey. Your spiritual growth is measured by, are you ready? Your love for the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for the Bible. You cannot separate it. And I've told you that before, and I'm not going to spend a long time on it this morning, but the Lord Jesus and your Word of God are the same, if it's a King James Bible. And if you long for it, it's longing for Him. Do you love your Bible time? It ought to be precious to you. Nothing interrupts it. And no, I don't take my cell phone to my Bible reading time. Bing! Oh my goodness, somebody's texting me. It can wait. It's all right. Well, somebody's calling you. That's why there's an answering machine on it. Amen? Your Bible time, you ought to say this. When I read my Bible, I don't care if it's 15 minutes before I go to work, 20 minutes before I go to work, 30 minutes. Nothing interrupts that time. Nothing interrupts that. I'll get to it when it's done. How about this? You measure your spiritual growth by your faithfulness to church. Your faithfulness to church. Look, I don't think... Look, I know there's you'll always have people that can only come one time a week. I understand that. Twice a week. There'll always be people that come three times a week but don't come to Sunday school. You know what? I don't think that's bad as a pastor. As your pastor, I do this. They have room to grow. I don't think, oh, how come they're not? I think they have room to grow. And so guess what? I look at that as my job. That's why I prepare the way I do. Someone said, I don't go to church Sunday night. I figure this, if I prepare real hard, I try to give you something worth coming for. Amen? You say, well, God should be bringing the people to church. And I realize that, and He does. But I figure if I work hard, I figure Wednesday nights, man, I know it's hard to come to church. Some guys will come in their clothes that they were working in, but that pushes me to prepare. That pushes me to think, better not. I highly suggest, I work very hard at getting and preparing and making sure I can say things that your average fifth grader can say. You understand? I want it to be something worthwhile. I learned something today. I got something from that. And I do. I pray, dear God, please, they're coming, Lord, and I have nothing to set before them. Please speak to their hearts. I do pray that. You can tell when you're spiritually growing by you don't get offended easily. I would like you to see this verse this morning. Go to Psalm 119, verse 165. If this verse is not marked in your Bible, it ought to be, but I want you to think about it just for a minute. Psalm 119, right in the middle of your Bible. Look at verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law. Psalm 119, verse 165. Psalm 119, verse 165. It's the biggest chapter in your Bible. It's about the Bible. Great peace have they which love thy law. And look at this. And nothing shall offend them. You know how I can tell how spiritually mature somebody is? I get offended. Do you understand? But I'm learning to get offended less and less. The word offend means to trip. It means to stumble. Great peace have they which love thy law, and the more mature you become as a Christian, and the more you love the Word of God, the less gets under your saddle. Do you understand? The less burrs get under your saddle. Boy, that just really torched me. I can't believe they said that. Careful. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Nothing shall offend them. That's how come I can make that statement. You're as spiritually mature as you are when it's hard to shake your cage. You understand? And when I'm easily offended, oh, it just burns me up. That lets me know this boy needs to get right with God. Do you understand? I'm not talking about putting my stamp of approval on sin. When you see the beer truck, when you see the strip joints, when you see the filth, it ought to upset you. That ought to anger you. I'm talking about when we deal with each other and there's somebody that says, boy, that's so-and-so, they really get under my craw. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. They took my parking spot out here. I've been parking there for 15 years. Great peace have they which love thy law. You're not loving the Bible like you should. Well, you don't understand. I've been parking out there, and I've been sitting here, and I've been... Careful, don't get offended. I want you to grow spiritually to where you can learn, doesn't bother me. I'm fine. I want you to have a good day. It's not all about me. Great peace have they which love thy law. I'm giving you a way this morning. How can you measure your spiritual growth? You don't get offended easily. Number four, I'm getting ready to close with this. Would you take your Bible and go to Ephesians 4, verse 31? How can you tell your spiritual growth? You love the Bible. You love the Lord Jesus. Your faithfulness to church. You don't get offended easily. And then you recover faster when someone hurts you. Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 31. We'll read verse 31 and verse 32, but watch this. Let all bitterness, Ephesians 4, 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I can tell how strong I am spiritually by when I get cut. How long does it take me to heal? I've been stabbed. I've been hurt. I've had people say things to me that I really wish they would have just hauled off and hit me with a 2x4. It would have been less painful. And then I have to go somewhere. I think like most and heal. But I always think, I hope this doesn't take me a long time to get over this. You understand? But when you bear a grudge and you allow yourself to hate and hate and hate and hate and it builds and it doesn't decrease, that's a sign of spiritual immaturity. That's a sign of spiritual immaturity. Christian, can I just ask you this question this morning? When someone hurts you, how long does it take for you to heal? Because you know what? If you haven't been hurt recently, it's coming, right? Everybody's failed us, right? Somebody's going to fail me sometime. It's okay. I just need a heal time. And whenever I get cut or kicked or stabbed, I need to go somewhere and say, that really hurt. And then I forgive. I forgive. You know what the word forgiveness means? For, beforehand, give, giving. You know what's healthy for us as a church? Every Christian in here. When you can look at, I've heard people make foolish statements like, boy, so-and-so better not do this to me. They do that. They have crossed the line. Then I am going to. Forgiveness is this. I, for, beforehand, give you the leeway if you ever fail me. In other words, I pre-plan in my head, if you ever fail me, it's okay. If you ever tell me you're going to do something and you don't, I forgive you. I don't say, well, I hope you follow through with it. You don't follow through with it, that means your character's bad and you're just a scumball. You know what I mean? You can't do that as a Christian. A Christian forgives. That means I have predetermined. There's nothing you can do to make me stop loving you. And that will make you healthy. That will help you. But this kind of talk that says here, well, I heard one person say, and this was in another church, I go to church, but the only people I talk to are my family because everybody else is out to get me. You know what I did? I looked at that person and I said, you're not going to be here very long. You really think everybody in the church is after you? I only talk to my family. That's it. I said, you're one bitter person. I said, can I help you with it? It's the way it's always been. And guess what? They weren't in church very long. And I tried to help them and I couldn't. Forgiveness is me predetermining ahead of time, before you fail me, that I'm not going to write you off when it's done. That's forgiveness. Do you understand? When was the Lamb slain? When did Jesus die for us? Before the foundation of the world. Before God ever said, let there be light. Before God ever spoke you into existence and created you and breathed into your nostrils the breath of life. Before He made us, He said, I'm going to die on a cross and make a way so if they ever fail me, they can come back to me. That is forgiveness. That makes for a healthy Christian. Let me show you this. I said how to grow spiritually. I told you how to measure your own spiritual strength. And give me just a couple more minutes and let me just share with you three things on now. Let me answer the question. Pastor, how do I grow? Number one, how do I grow? Be willing to obey and live what you don't understand. I don't understand tithing. I know it was in my head because I'm preaching this morning. But I don't understand the math behind tithing. So let me get this straight. I make 100%. I give 10%, and God blesses the 90% above the 100% as if I'd never given the 10%. I don't understand that. I do it because God said to do it. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Get it out of you. Some of you, your mind is your own enemy. If you can't understand it, you don't trust. And what God gave you to read His Word and to love His Word is used against you because education is your God. If you want to grow, how do you grow? Be willing to obey and live what you don't understand. We walk by faith, not by sight. God says, Romans 14:23, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. If God says it, that settles it. I believe it. I believe it. And watch this. I know. I can give you illustration of tithing. I can give you other illustrations. I'm not going to understand it all. But I want to grow so I believe it all. Do you understand? But I'm not going to understand it all. How do you grow? I said, number one, I'll give you three things. Number one, be willing to obey and live what you don't understand. Number two, how do I grow? We're almost done. Make yourself do what you don't want to do. You know, I'd like you to go to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7 and see this. But 1 Timothy, while you go to Romans 7, I'm going to read to you 1 Timothy chapter 4. It says, refuse profane and old wives' fables and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable. God tells us to exercise ourselves spiritually. I'm supposed to work out. You know what I mean? I remember in the Marine Corps, you know, we hit that stateside, and they say, oh, come on, let's go work out. I knew I shouldn't have done that. And we go over to the gym, and, come on. You can do it. Can you do it? Another 15 pounds. Another 20 pounds over here. Another 15. Come on, you can do it. You can do it. You can do it. And I was like, okay, I'll just do it to get a pump. Not with those guys breathing down your neck. You're not going to do that. Come on, you can do it. And then we get the curls. Come on. We can do it. Come on, we can do it. Oh, I feel it. That's great. That was such a horrible morning the next day. I set my alarm. I was always getting up at 3:30 to read my Bible in the Marine Corps. I remember when my alarm went off. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Oh, my goodness. I couldn't even sit up. They did that on every stinking exercise. You know, we were doing the sit-ups. Come on, twist. Do the twist. Come on, God, do the twist. Oh, do the twist. Oh, do the twist. Every part of my body hurt. I got out of the bed that morning. I had to roll to the side, and it was easier just to roll out of bed onto the floor. Then I remember I went to my locker and I was like, I really need to, I could raise my arm. So I remember, you got to do that and think, oh, it was so dumb, stupid. Just like we would exercise, God says you're supposed to exercise and work out spiritually. And you practice yielding to the Holy Spirit. And you work out. And you stretch your faith. And you work out. Just like God says that, that tells me this. To be a Christian, I am always going to be, if I'm growing, I'm always pushing myself further into things that I don't want to do, but I know is right to do. Listen closely. Look at your Romans chapter 7. Ready? For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. He says, I hate failing God. Look at this. He says, verse 16, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now, then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. He says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. That tells me this. When it came time for me to give up my music, my rock music, it was hard. But I knew it was right. And I had conditioned myself for the rap and the rock and the country. And when God was touching my heart, I went ahead and pushed myself into that which I didn't want to do. I felt the pull. It was like, ugh, ugh. And I pushed myself, give it 30 days, Christian, 30 days. And amazing grace. When you first give up the rock, it's boring. I understand that. You've conditioned yourself to accept the world's fleshly music. But if you will allow yourself to go into the realm that you don't want to go, you will eventually say, I'd rather hear the hymns in church than the filthy rock music I used to listen to. How are you going to grow? You mean you only do as a Christian what you want to do? You mean you only do as a Christian what makes you feel good? The devil can make you feel real good. When do you push yourself? When do you stretch yourself? If you want to grow spiritually, last thing, if you want to grow spiritually, make yourself do what you want to do. Let me just give you this verse here. The Apostle Paul tells us, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press toward the mark. You're supposed to pressure yourself to do right. You're supposed to pressure yourself to read your Bible. You're supposed to pressure yourself to pray. If you're dating right now, you are not supposed to be touching a member of the opposite sex. Okay? So please, if you're dating, I made that statement. Please, don't hug and stuff in church. You're not supposed to touch another woman till you're married to him. Okay, back to the sermon. You pressure yourself to pray. You pressure yourself to go soul winning. You pressure yourself to listen to the right kind of music. Then, number three, finally, how do you grow? Get in a church where you can grow. Get in a church where you can grow. In the right type of church, I find that in Acts 6:7 it says the Word of God increased. In Acts 12:23 it says the Word of God grew and multiplied. In Acts 19 it says so mightily grew the Word of God and prevailed. It's not talking about the Bible grew. It's talking about the influence of the Word of God grew, and it was evident because people's lives were being changed. In a good church, you're encouraged and taught to read your Bible. You're taught to read the Bible for yourself. Acts 17:11 says these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. He said, and that they searched the Word daily, whether those things were so. Yeah, you ought to be reading the Bible for yourself. I want to do what God says do. I want to do if it's in the Bible. In a good church, the people say, give us the Bible. They do not say this. He better not preach on this or I'm out of here. I know there'll always be a few that says that, but in a good church, the people say, we want the Word of God. In a good church, you can be around Christians that are growing. Can I ask you a question? Are the people that you hang around, do they talk about how they love growing in the Lord? Can you talk about, hey, what'd you read in your Bible this morning? Or do you have to shy away from that? Because they'll think you're a Fruit Loop. If you aren't careful, Christian, you're going to become like those you hang around. And if you can't talk, are your friends growing in the Lord? Are the people that you spend time with? That's the benefit of a good church. In a good church, the people are taught not to compare themselves among themselves. 2 Corinthians 10:12 says, we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Everybody needs to let everybody grow. Nobody here is at the same spiritual level that anybody else is this morning. The only person I'm supposed to be comparing myself to is Jesus. And if you're here and I'm here and we're both looking at Jesus, we can encourage each other as we make Him the mode rather than, am I wearing the clothes that so-and-so is wearing? Or is my hair like this? Or do I live in a house like they do? Or do I drive a car like they do? We're not supposed to compare ourselves among ourselves. A good church reminds us, keep your eyes on the Lord and let those who are underneath you grow. You say, well, they shouldn't cuss. Maybe God hasn't dealt with them on that yet. Then you pray for them. Well, you say they shouldn't be listening to that type of music. Everybody in a good church lets everybody grow, even though maybe they're not where you're at. We don't compare ourselves among ourselves. And finally, Can I just make this statement? If you're not growing here at Gospel Light Baptist Church, go find a church where you can grow spiritually. You say, that's a strong statement as a pastor. If I love you, I want you to grow spiritually. And if I can't feed you, and if the Lord cannot use me in your life, then if I love you, I'll encourage you, find a church where you can grow. Don't go find a church where you can hide, where you can slip in, nobody notices you, and you can slip out. Go find a church then where you can grow. If I love you, I'll tell you that. Number four, ready? I have found this, though. Most people that I know that have left has been because they didn't want to grow. Number four, stay away from people that hinder growth. You say, how do I grow, Pastor? How do I grow spiritually? I told you, number one, be willing to obey and live what you don't understand. Make yourself do what you don't want to do that's right. Get in a church where you can grow. And number four, stay away from people that hinder growth. Gossips and critics hinder growth. Dead churches hinder growth. Books written by people that aren't soul winners and who don't use the King James Bible are dangerous. Radio broadcasts that don't use the King James Bible are garbage. Quit listening to them or they're going to pull you out of church. You say, that wouldn't happen. It's happened here since I've been pastor. I said, who do you listen to during the day? Oh, I love Billy Graham, and I love Charles Swindoll, and I love John MacArthur. I said, those are liberal Bible teachers. Better be careful what you're listening to on the radio. So I thought I'd mention it one time in church. I did. They weren't in church again. Please be careful what you're listening to. Everything that calls itself out there that's Christian isn't. Many of them are money hungry. You know what's sad? I tried to talk to one person in our church. I said, they weren't tithing to church. They were tithing to the radio thing. I said, who's going to do your funeral when you pass? I said, is that radio guy that you listen to that's all the way over in California? I said, is he coming to your funeral? After all the money you've sent him? Well, I said, I tithe to my local church first. I'm not telling you not to give somewhere else. I'm just telling you, I tithe to my local church. When your kids get married, is he going to be there? Do you understand? Well, then tithe to your local church. Be careful. Most critics in a church like ours have never built anything. They haven't built a bus route. They haven't built a Sunday school class. They've never built anything spiritual. Most critics never build anything. They just specialize in telling everybody else what they don't like. How in the world do you read a newspaper column that's criticizing a sports coach when the idiot writing the column never coached a team? Well, I think you should have done this and this play here and this. Who'd you coach? Nobody. Well, I'm like, who cares what the editor has to say? He's never coached anything, but he feels total freedom to rip that one coach to shreds. Absolutely amazing to me, the criticism. Be careful. You can't grow in the Lord. And let me just tell you this morning. You can't grow in the Lord, finally, if you aren't born again. If you aren't born again. If you're not saved. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, I don't have the peace of God in my heart that I'm saved. Well, then we can take the Bible and we can show you how wonderful and how simple it is to get saved. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that, Lord, we don't have to guess what's right. But, Lord, please, as we came to grow, we want to grow. I pray that, please, you would bless these sweet people.